Pimley ignored him. He pulled the peacemaker from the docker's clutch, wondering briefly what premonition had caused him to put it on. He had no idea, but he was glad for the weight of the gun in his hand. Behind him, Tassa was yelling, Tammy was too, but Pimley ignored the pair of them. His heart was beating furiously, but he was calm again. Finley was right. The breakers were the important thing right now. Making sure they didn't lose a third of their trained psychics in some sort of electrical fire or half-assed act of sabotage. He nodded at his security chief, and they began to run toward Damley House, with Jackley squawking and flapping along behind them like a refugee from a Warner Brothers cartoon. Somewhere up there, Gasky was hollering, and then Pimlio, New Jersey, heard a sound that chilled him to the bone, a rapid chow, chow, chow sound. Gunfire. If some clown was shooting at his breakers, that clown's head would finish the day on a high pole by the gods. That the guards, rather than the breakers, might be under attack had at that point still not crossed his mind. Nor that of the slightly wilier Finley, either. Too much was happening, too fast. 11. At the south end of the Divar compound, the syncopated honking sound was almost loud enough to split eardrums. "Christ!" Eddie said, and couldn't hear himself. In the south watchtowers, the guards were turned away from them, looking north. Eddie couldn't see any smoke yet. Perhaps the guards could from their higher vantage points. Roland grabbed Jake's shoulder, then pointed at the Sioux Line boxcar. Jake nodded and scrambled beneath it with Oi at his heels. Roland held both hands out to Eddie, "Stay where you are," and then followed. On the other side of the boxcar, the boy and the gunslinger stood up, side by side. They would have been clearly visible to the sentries had the attention of those worthies not been distracted by the smoke detectors and fire alarms inside the compound.